There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, another hour. Here we go. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And the phone lines, text line is 343-0106, 343-0106. Lots to talk about this hour. And I mentioned as we went to the break, other than talking about coaches' shorts, I also mentioned my buddy Dale Leash with Lanyap and a discussion of the Mobile City Council going back to the virtual world. They're trapped in the game Tron, which for the younger listeners have no idea, but the rest of us are... You with me on the Tron thing?
Yeah, and they had a more recent Tron movie, too. It's not all 80s.
Oh, okay, came back?
Tron came out, but yeah, I remember.
That's what I thought when I saw the first Tron, is somebody really needs to remake this movie. It really needs to remake.
It's a complex plot.
Right.
You know? Why touch it?
It's a classic that needs to be remade. Dale, I want to talk about, so the city council, give us the history here, because city council did go virtual and then stopped doing that, right?
They did, and I should have dates for you, exact dates, and I don't, but they went virtual when everything started to shut down, you know, I think really early April, I guess, here. And they were virtual for a month or two, and then they came back and did in-person meetings again. And, you know, that was right about the time they passed the mask ordinance or mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wore masks, and, you know, we went to the council meetings, and they kept as distant as they could. They wore masks. I mean, after the first couple meetings, I think people called them out, and they started all make a point of wearing their mask at all times. And then, you know, kind of, I don't want to say out of the blue, but I will say out of the blue for me, and it appears like out of the blue for Gina Gregory, too. A couple of weeks ago, LaVon announced that they'd be going back to virtual meetings based on the majority of the council wanting to. And I think she said that she never voted on that, so she didn't know what he was talking about. And so last week, or I'm sorry, yesterday, they had the first one, meeting back in the virtual world, doesn't, you know, with cases going down here in Mobile County, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think your listeners are probably gonna be a little bit confused about why they go back to virtual meetings. Probably why you're talking to me now.
That is correct. I mean, as I talked about the trends, I mean, thank goodness we've had some better news. You know, we report that every morning during the morning show, the COVID numbers and number of cases, number of hospitalizations, number of tests out there, and
the
thank goodness
the ones tested. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been good news. So it seems odd to me that this is the time that they would go back to doing virtual meetings.
Well, and, you know, I discussed these things with the illustrious Rob Holbert, as one does when they're putting together making decisions on what stories they're going to cover. And his first question was, won't this sort of, like, kind of give the impression that we're not doing what we're supposed to do as far as the COVID numbers are concerned? And, I mean, that is a valid point. For the person who's not paying complete attention to the news, which I don't blame them, it's 2020, why would they? Except for Lanyap. Please, everybody read Lanyap and subscribe.
Right, but outside of that, I agree.
Outside of Lanyap, yeah, why would you read the news about 2020? You might think that, oh my God, things must be horrible again because the council's going back to virtual meetings. And that's really, from what I gather, that's really not the reasoning for this move. And honestly, it's kind of a hodgepodge of reasons. I can go down a list.
Help me understand.
Yeah.
What's your top three reasons? Ladies and gentlemen, now, Dale Leash with the top three reasons Mobile City Council going back to virtual meetings.
Do we need a drum roll?
If I had it right now, I would be playing. Just picture it. Just hear it in your mind.
Yeah, that's another dated reference, David Letterman. I'll explain as best as I can. So John Williams basically said, and you know, I love John Williams. He's a great civic leader, great elected leader, and he's a good source for me. He mentioned that, you know, it's just really hard to hear people in mass, and the council rule has been, and we can get into this too if you want to diverge a little bit, but the council rule has been that everybody in the chamber, regardless of where they're sitting, how far away they are from other people, the rule inside the chamber is that you wear a mask regardless.
Yep, everybody masked up, right? Somebody got thrown out, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Well, Reggie Hill's gotten thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a very active speaker at the council meetings, bringing up issues that he finds important, that he might think others find important. And he constantly, as a point of show, I think, gets thrown out or asked to leave every meeting pretty much that he speaks at, because he won't wear a mask at the podium or at the microphone.
Right.
But for right now, we'll just focus on the virtual meeting thing. So he's like, yeah, it's really hard to hear people in masks, and that's just kind of a hassle. So we'll go back to virtual meetings, and for the time being, and okay, whatever, that's fine.
Okay, there's a reason. All right.
I would argue that it's harder for people to speak, for the public to speak, at virtual meetings. But I mean, it is easier now, I guess, with technology. But I would still say it's more of a hassle than just coming down to City Hall. There are some health aspects too. Fred Richardson didn't talk to me about my recent story, and he always usually calls me back, so he must have been busy. He's getting up there in age, so that's a risk factor, right? Gina Gregory's a cancer survivor. That's mm-hmm. a risk factor. And then LeVon has had some health issues as well. So you have three members that probably shouldn't be in and around the public anyway. So that's another reason that John gave. He gave two. You can't hear in masks, and the health issues. Okay. Of the other members. Right. And I understand that is, the last one is a valid concern. And then just some of the other reasons were that the technology is better, that they can actually have people call into the Zoom meeting and wait for their topic to come up and then be asked to speak. And that is true, and that is something different than what they were doing when they were doing this previously. But I don't know if those three factors alone warrant however this may stifle somebody who wants to come down to speak.
Now, the other part of this, and you point out in the story over at LandNetMobile.com, or if people pick up a paper copy, is the speakers could get two fewer minutes, like a reduction in time. Why? What's the reasoning on that?
I'm glad you brought that up. This is so interesting to me. I don't know if it's as interesting to everybody else, but here we go. The Rules Committee had a meeting yesterday. Yeah, it was Tuesday, right? I get my days mixed up.
Yep.
The Rules Committee had a meeting on Tuesday, and basically what they decided was that they would recommend to the full council that starting whenever they pass, whenever they, update the rules, speakers would get 3 minutes instead of the traditional five to make their points and so on and so forth. And again, I think this goes back to current speakers that we have that, as is their right, they take the opportunity to speak to council on myriad issues that they find important, and it seems like the council's making changes to that because that hasn't gone so well the last few weeks.
Oh, wait a second, because individuals can't do it correctly, then everybody has to fall in line with the new rule.
That's how I would interpret this,
uh-huh.
this rule change. Now I haven't. I attended the meeting virtually. I have not spoken to the chairman of the committee about that, and I will because it's John Williams again. But that's how I would interpret the change. I'm sure he's got a reasonable reason for wanting to make the change. So basically, you're going to get your number of minutes cut down from five to three. Now, if one council member wants to give you an additional minute, they can, and it just takes one. And if you get any for any additional minutes after that additional 1 minute, it takes the full vote of the council. So there are, you know, there are contingencies in place. And obviously, what's kind of an unwritten rule is that if people like, you know, Dr. Eichel come and speak to the council, he obviously has more than 5 minutes, you know, if he speaks about COVID-19, and they usually have a lot of questions. Now, one thing the council didn't want to do, at least the majority of council, was stifle their ability to basically have unlimited debate on any topic. And, you know, that can drag the meetings out, and I understand that, but at the same time, I kind of get their point. Like, it may take me more than 5 minutes to get to my point, but that kind of speaks to the whole thing about cutting the citizens, citizen speakers out, too. It's like they may take longer than 5 minutes to get to their point as well. So you kind of see both sides of it, I guess.
Yeah, to some degree, but I'm looking through this and going, how much of this is driven by having to use the technology for doing virtual meetings, and how much of this is driven by, like you said, I put the hay down there, the horses, and get after it, that there's certain people that go, and their agenda is to go in there and just go down their list of grievances. It's always the same thing. It's not even specifically addressing the council. I mean, I can see that. I don't want to have anything that limits citizens' ability to petition our government, but yeah, there are some people that need a job or a hobby. I mean, to be frank.
No, and LeVon, it's funny you should bring that up, because LeVon called them shy nights. They come down to get shine. And I mean, that's a valid argument. That's a fair argument. But the problem with government, if you limit one person, you have to limit them all, or you're going to have issues, I think. And I think that's kind of what they're talking about with the speaker rule. So nothing has been decided fully on the speaker rule yet. That seems like the way they're heavily leaning. Like I said, it's just a committee recommendation. The full council will vote on it at a later date.
And what does it look like now, too, when people, even with their limited time, go into the virtual meeting? If people haven't seen this, you have like that Brady Bunch effect, you know, and there's a member
the
of the
boxes.
The boxes.
Squares. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
And for the block. Does the citizen then get our own block? We come in when we're addressing the council?
Well, to indicate the correct answer, circle gets the square, Sean.
Thank you.
in some cases, yes. There was a gentleman that spoke from his home about an issue on the council agenda yesterday, and he looked like he was in his office. They also have a little, the city clerk's office has a little sign-up sheet where they normally would have one outside of council chambers, and people can go up and sign up, and they have a camera where you can speak into the camera to the council members that way as well. So, yeah, they've made some adjustments to the way that they have done this, and it seems to be working, but like I said, we've done it for 1 week. And here's something else to think about with this. September 1st, we have the public hearing on the budget, on the 2021 budget coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have to be in person, I think.
Why is that?
They always expect to have a bunch of people that don't sign up ahead of time to come in and speak on that. So, I mean, we're talking 2 weeks of virtual meetings, and we're going back in person.
But
it kind of seems pointless.
Is it just the logistics of pulling it off, or is there some council rule that says the budget meeting has to be non-virtual?
In person. Well, I don't think we've ever had one that... I don't think we've ever had a budget public hearing that was virtual. I guess, given the governor's order, I guess, unless she changes it on August 31st, I guess they could have it virtually. I don't think there's anything in the city rules that would dictate they couldn't. I just think the logistics of it would be a nightmare.
So, whatever the worries that we that were annotated there earlier, the reasons for going back to virtual, those only exist for 2 weeks, and then those worries are...
And I think part of that is they expect the governor to loosen some of the restrictions, or some of the, or not the restrictions, because the restrictions have pretty much, you know, except for a few looming ones, have been pretty well restricted, other than some restaurants, you know, theaters and stuff. But the order that allows councils to meet virtually might be changed by September 1st, too. And I think that's part of their thinking as well.
All right, very good. Dale Leish with Lanyap. Y'all got a passel of great stories over at Lanyap. Tell folks how to get signed up, do the virtual, the online Lanyap.
Well, yeah, and I will. Let me just first, I wrote the cover story this week, and it's about the effect of people not working, people working from home on downtown businesses and restaurants. You should check it out. It's on the cover this week. It's a good story where I talk about, you know, city taxes, all that fun and interesting stuff, and I talk to some restaurant owners. And then, yeah, if you want to subscribe, which I highly encourage everyone listening to subscribe, please. It feeds my 4-year-old, and I really would appreciate it.
Yes.
You can do that by going to our website, LadyMobile.com, or you know, calling us. Anybody in the office would be happy to help you take your information and sign you up. Yeah, we look forward to having more subscribers and entertaining you with our in-depth stories, and I hope you enjoy it.
As always, I do, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Sean. Really appreciate it.
And Charles Nelson Riley for The Block. There he is. Dale Leash, Lanyap. LanyapMobile.com, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 127 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on a Wednesday. I forgot to. I was going to discuss this morning during Mobile Mornings with Dalton. I didn't get a chance, but. It was interesting with Bill Clinton, you know, ripping President Trump during the DNC telethon thing last night. And I mean, it first of all, they both impeached presidents, right? So and Bill Clinton, like, taking the moral high ground against just strategically, okay, so. Strategically, if I am the Democrats and I'm planning here, if I'm coming in and I'm going to try to, you know, just like rip on President Trump on all these, like, not even policy issues, personality issues. What do you say? You talked about him about he's good. He watches TV all the time. All this. If you're going to do all this stuff that's like not even specifically policy, don't you get somebody other than Bill Clinton? Let Bill Clinton do something else, maybe on policy or whatever. Not be. Do you think people are watching that and going, you know, I mean, the pot called kettle and they said you're black and, you know, it just seems like that was a bad choice for that messaging. Maybe it went over famously. Maybe people loved it. Dalton, have we seen any ratings? Have we seen any ratings for, I guess it would be looking at night one of the DNC convention? I know Jeff Boer was talking about it. He didn't think it's going to be much to it, but it seems, I don't know. I would have just strategized. I'd have brought somebody else out that would have been have less issues, less backstory there than Bill Clinton. All right, I can get to that. I'll get to that story in a second. I do want to say that you can also watch a story about. We had the interview with Dr. Yasensack, several of them about this mail-in voting. My friend Andrea Ramey did a story for MyNBC 15 where she interviewed him as well. So you want to get somebody else asking questions about mail-in voting. She's posted that up as well. It's on their website. So that is good stuff. Check that out. Andrea did, as always, very good job on that. And we get back from the break. It's a story here that I'm wondering what's happening with... So we talked about this morning. Alabama's limiting 20% capacity at Bryant-Denny. It's up right now. I think I retweeted it. Same thing at Jordan-Hare. 20% capacity. No tailgating. So these are the changes for back to football, right? Coming up later next month, end of September. With the tickets available, will they be so high in price that they run people away? Will the demand drop because you got to wear a face mask in the stands? What about the crowd portion of SEC football? Get into that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
News, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, I'm Sean. That band playing right there is a band called Widespread Panic, probably unknown to many of y'all, probably known to many of y'all as well. I know the... I don't know. I mean, it's a band. I'm 48. I think there's probably people probably from their 30s to maybe pushing 60 or so, right? This is might fall into, yeah, be in your wheelhouse. News just came out. Saw this from the Twitter feed from Widespread Panic. It said, from the Nance family. And this is coming out. So Todd Nance, founding drummer of Widespread Panic, dies at age 57. I know there's a music story, but I think it's one that a lot of people will know who I'm talking about here. It said on Twitter from the Nance family, it's with great sadness. We announced that Todd Nance, founding member of Widespread Panic, passed away early this morning in Athens, Georgia, from a sudden and unexpectedly severe complication of a chronic illness. There are no services planned at this time. Bah, 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 bah. They go through the sad news, man. Sad news. I've had those guys in the early fledgling radio career, had those guys in studio. It's many decades ago in the 90s. And so that's sad news coming out. So, yeah, that just breaking news on that. All right. And thank you, Dalton. Dalton gave me an update here. So the ratings, I was wondering what the ratings look like for the 2020 DNC virtual convention. New York Post story came out, and it said the first night of the 2020 virtual Democrat National Convention. Democratic National Convention was largely a snooze fest. Well, this is an opinion piece here. And it was reflected in the dismal TV ratings, which tanked compared to opening festivities of 2016. Networks CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN averaged 18.68 million viewers during the overlapping hour of coverage beginning at 10 p.m., so it'd be 9 our time. According to Hollywood Reporter, a 28% plunge in the ratings from opening night in 2016. Well, and they said Fox News. When I saw Fox News the other night, they had like a little picture-in-picture thing. But they weren't going to the... Maybe they did that later on in the evening. Said a dip was not unexpected as more and more viewers tune in through streaming services and mobile devices, which are not factored into traditional TV ratings. Oh, here's the save. Here's the live chat. Here's a PFD. Now, they were probably all watching it streaming. Aside from a rousing speech by former First Lady Michelle Obama endorsing presumptive candidate Joe Biden, remember this is an older story, this is now official, night was also short on instant must-see moments from conventions past, but there was the first night. They didn't know it was going to be a snooze fest. So a 20-something percent drop in 28% plunge ratings first night to first night over a four-year span there for the DNC. I don't know that the Republican one's going to do numbers like before. Think about the energy around the last convention, right? I mean, and now it's going to be, not really a convention for the Republicans. And you got these, President Trump, has he changed that? He was talking about maybe he would accept from the Oval Office or something like that. I don't think it's going to have. I think the Republicans may be in the same pickle. I don't think they're going to have some kind of amazing numbers. Why it should matter, you're just there to hear the speeches and all that, but I think just the energy in the background or lack thereof may cause it, so I don't know. But somebody said, I'm not even talking about whether the Democrat virtual convention will be better than it's just I don't think people will be as energized. I mean, you think about on the Republican side, think about what was happening in 2016. Think about what was happening with Donald Trump then. It's not like that now on either side of the aisle. All right, the football portion of this, Dalton talked this morning, was telling us about it in sports, the changes going on for tickets, seats at Bryant-Denny for this year's football season for Alabama. Henry Thornton reporting about half an hour ago. Same thing's true now for Auburn. This comes from Yellowhammer News. Says Auburn restricts stadium to 20% of normal capacity to begin football season, bans tailgating. So it really just lines up exactly what they said for the University of Alabama. It says Auburn University announced today that to begin football season, only 20% of Jordan-Hare Stadium capacity will be filled when the Tigers take the field in September. In additional moves meant to mitigate the spread of coronavirus, the school banned tailgating to begin the season and reiterated that masks will be required for every individual attending a game in person. Come back to that in a second. Auburn did not give an exact timetable for how long they plan to keep it in place. The recently announced level of restrictions, but did say in the press release that as the season progresses, the seating plan and configuration may change as additional information related to COVID-19 becomes available. For the home opener versus Kentucky, that, of course, if it happens, you'll hear it here at FM Talk 106.5. That would be, they say, home opener versus Kentucky. The only fans receiving general seating tickets will be students currently enrolled at Auburn. University says the move is meant to, quote, contribute to the on-campus experience of the current students, end quote. Well, we look forward to having the Auburn students in attendance at our season opener and appreciate everyone's flexibility and understanding as we adjust to the temporary reality of reduced capacity at Jordan-Hare Stadium. That from Auburn Athletic Director Alan Green. All right, so this is a move there that it may be contrary to money coming into the system, but maybe it's the right one. If there were limited tickets, well, this is hard to say because we just had to make the decision on our tickets for our family, my wife's family's tickets for this season, for season tickets to go watch Bama play. It's a big decision to not take those or the reduced amount that you get for a season. But maybe it's a fair argument that the students should have the first dibs. Oh, it sounds bad for me to even say, but the students would have the first dibs on the tickets for the game. Now, I was going to say on the face mask thing, too, the discussion we had last night about this is I was talking to one of my friends here at work about the same thing, about going to the games in person. If you have to wear face masks, let's talk about this, you know, September. Let's talk about, even though it's late September, right? Season gets started now, late September. Okay. Y'all know good and well, there's been like the third weekend in September, it's been 98 degrees, right? You've been in that stadium before, whether that's Jordan-Hare or Bryant Denny, you've been in that stadium watching a football game and just pouring sweat. It's so hot there. And then they're going to have you put a mask on. Maybe all the games, I don't know, Dalton, will all the games go nighttime or something? But I know the mask, there's a lot of different kind of masks. But I when I wear mine, the ones we've got, I've got one that's kind of I don't know what you call it, the doctor's office mask, that kind of thing. But mostly I wear one that's a little tighter weave, but like a cloth mask that fits around your face. If I'm walking around the grocery store in an unorganized fashion, which is how I do it because I don't have all the things mapped out in the grocery store, I get to get, like, I want that mask off so badly because it's, you know, restricts some degree of airflow. And I'm in an air-conditioned grocery store, and I'm not hollering. I don't think, if you put people in masks and you enforce this in the stadiums, then do you have people passing out, like in a September-October game? What are you doing? So I don't know. But yeah, they're now talking about, so at least for Auburn, it did not say that. Dalton, it didn't say that, right, for Bryant Denny, because I know they offered us tickets. But for Auburn, they're saying that the 20% will be student tickets. So now, this is self-serving, but I can remind you, too, when you don't get your tickets to go watch Auburn play because of all this, lucky for you, you can listen to those games on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, so better be careful promoting that. Some will say that, you know, we started COVID in order to have more people listen.
They figured it out.
Auburn,
they figured us out. Yeah, so you will be able to you'll be able to listen to those games, and you can sit at your home and listen to the games with a mask on or no mask.
Your choice. You know, regarding the season tickets for Alabama,
because we were told last night, like in the conversation with the family, this is not even a news story. This is just going on in our house. That we had a big reduction in the number of season tickets, but we still had an option to have some. But now Auburn's saying they're all going to the students.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the case with Alabama. Somebody can call in or text if I'm incorrect. But what I was seeing last night for Bryant Denny, the people that that do decide to hold on to their season tickets, that first off, they don't know where they're going to be sitting.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you've been in the same seats for 10, 20 years.
And our family has.
Yeah, they're probably more than likely going to move you around in order to create some of that space. But I've also seen, it looks like not only did they reduce how many people can have those season tickets, but the pricing on them increased as well. I believe the school, so not even secondary market, but the school raised the prices. That's what I thought I was seeing online last night.
Did they raise them by, because it's 20%, they raised them by 80% to make themselves equal?
They didn't go quite that far, but they did jack them up quite a bit to, I guess, make a little money back on that. But then imagine the secondary market. I'm not sure exactly how that'll work out, but if someone...
$1 million.
Yeah, if once they're selling those on the secondary market, Iron Bowl, how much will that go for if there's only 20% capacity in the stadium?
And maybe folks, they got Auburn season tickets, can let us know on the text line, but they're, I think I can talk about this. It's a thing that for season tickets for the University of Alabama, before you get to buy season tickets, you got to make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very heady donation that's made. And I don't know if scholarship fund or exactly what it's termed. But you got to make that donation before you then get the incredible opportunity to pay more money for your season ticket packages. So you got to cough up money, and that like gets you in, and now you get to buy, you know, your season tickets that you've had forever. Mm-hmm. But it gives you each year that process. You pay up, and then you get to buy season tickets.
All the season ticket holders played a major role in that new Mal Moore athletic facility that they built there, and the additions to the stadium,
and the, you know, what is it? They're predicting Mayor Walt Maddox here in Tuscaloosa, $200 billion reduced revenue for the city of Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and I think
$200 million,
that could be on the low side.
Imagine you're a city the size of Tuscaloosa, and it's grown, but with that's just not in the system, and that's because, you know, they depend on. I mean, they've already built their budget. Right, and I'm not talking about. It's not talking about the school. This is not talking about the university. This is talking about Tuscaloosa proper. They've built their budget, their fiscal year going forward. Maybe they have enough time here before the end of the fiscal year to adjust things for next year. But you would have to change budgets big time.
Yeah, and think about the side effects with fewer people actually in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Now I know, you know, restaurants, bars, everything gets really full on game day, but students will still be in town, presumably, unless they start shutting things down like they have at UNC and Michigan State. But students will still be in town when they have these games, whether they're home or away. The pictures that have been coming out from Tuscaloosa and from Auburn of students going out to bars and, mm-hmm. and not social distancing, you know, there's been a lot of people getting onto them for that. That's not going to be any better on game day with fewer people actually in the stadium. Those bars are going to be packed.
Yeah, it's probably be people. You won't have that that
window of time,
right? You know that, like, if you've been to, you know, you're in Auburn, you're in Tuscaloosa, you're there for a game day. Everybody's, you know, having fun doing things, and then all of a sudden it's like the whole tailgating bar restaurant scene, it just disappears. Everybody, mm-hmm. it makes this mass migration to the stadium. You won't have an 80% reduction in the number of people that come and get hotel. This would be the first chance, if we did, this would be the first chance ever I would have to be able to book a hotel room in Tuscaloosa, not have to go some far distance down the road.
Now you have no reason.
Of course, I wouldn't be able to go to the game, but I'd have that hotel room. All right, appreciate that update. But yeah, no, we did not set this up for this, but, you know, one of the things to get around this, you can't go to the game this year. You're not going to get there. Remember, as always, FM Talk 106.5, all the Auburn games starting with the first, going through the game after the Iron Bowl,
mm-hmm.
which is the other strange thing.
Yeah, and Tiger Talk will be on, as usual, next month.
17th. Yes, we got the note from those folks at Auburn. So Tiger Talk at 6 to 7 on the 17th. That's a Thursday. And then Tiger Talk Overtime with Doug Holton to follow the next hour. Plus the Auburn Sports Today feature during the morning show. That's there. And, of course, the pregame, game, and postgame. What's it going to look like when they do game day and there's not anybody there to hold up, you know, signs about Corso or something like that?
It's going
to
be very strange. But, you know, they start at 6 a.m. in the morning anyway. So there are scenes of the game day shot without very many people in the background.
All right. There we go. Coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. All right, 155 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile coming up in just like, well, 5 minutes. Paul Feinbaum, more discussion on this. I don't know. So a couple of questions here. We can dig it. Somebody's saying you get a better chance of getting season tickets. Now, I'm going to say this is only specific to, like, I don't know what the whole policy is. But, like, in our situation, you can take the refund for this year, but you come back in the same position for season tickets next year. So, I don't know that as people are getting reduced amount of season tickets and these mini packs and all that, if they take that, you still, or if you take none of them, you still have, at least in our situation, the status to get, be in the same place in line to get your season tickets next year. That's what I heard. Although, hey, it's 2020. Who knows? So Roy says South is not expecting to have any tickets available for the public. Dalton, is that true? Did you hear as the alum around here? He said Roy's got four season tickets, but not close to where my seats were supposed to be. That was another thing, Roy. We heard on, you know, our season tickets, which are located in a pretty special place in Bryant-Denny, that there is no guarantee of where the seats were going to be, so we kind of bailed. But yeah, do you see Roy saying the South is not expecting to have any tickets available for the public? Is that something you've heard or not heard?
We had Dr. Joel Erdman on Monday night on Sports Night.
Right, he should know.
And that's I believe they are expecting to have public students. I think he said 20-25%, just like we're seeing with so many of the other schools around the state.
But capacity. Did they sell? Have they sold enough? You know, are there enough season tickets and students to take up that 20 or 25%?
Definitely. I know they do want to have students there, and he gave me exact numbers on Monday night. And unfortunately, I don't have a brain like a steel trap, so I can't tell you numbers. But they are going to have a bunch of students there and season ticket holders. But you know, it's going to be a lot like we're seeing around the rest of the country. They're going to have to separate the seats. I know a lot of people, they were excited to see where their seats would be for this inaugural season at Hancock Whitney Bank Stadium, but they're going to keep people separated. You know, they had that one end zone that was going to be for socializing, basically, where you could stand
up.
It had
like a name or something, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember the name of it, but they've kind of made that into a little bit of a different situation, since socializing is the exact opposite of what they really want
you
to do.
That is so frustrating, too. I mean, for this project, you know, for Whitney Bank Stadium to do this, and the job is done on time, ahead of schedule. You know, usually we have some big story about a construction project like that. It's like, it's running behind schedule. It's over. This is done before schedule. It's a beautiful facility. And now it's got to deal with this in year one. But maybe they'll be like way back, and, you know, be telling grandkids down the road, be saying, well, the first year of this stadium, they couldn't even play, you know, a regular season.
It's so exciting, this new stadium. Watching so many games at LAD where, first off, it's tougher for the students to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's such a big stadium there at LAD that it doesn't really fill out with the people that show up. This new Hancock Whitney Stadium, it looks so good. And having the students right there on campus, once they are able to go full capacity, it should look outstanding on ESPN.
But once it cools off, if we can pry some tickets out of somebody, you and I got to go to a game.
Definitely.
All right, good deal. And did we both hear the National Your Money Now correspondent not know what a hot light at Krispy Kreme was? We did hear that.
Shame.
And we're trying to have that person fired. We'll let you know tomorrow. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Y'all have a great one.